Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. Last week, as we started our study in chapter 2, Peter told his readers who were suffering persecution that they needed to remove certain elements from their lives while they were trying to live a holy life for the Lord. These things should not be present if we're telling the world that we're trying to live a holy life for Christ. Peter gave us a list that none who read can misinterpret. He said, rid yourselves of wickedness, deceit, insincerity, slander, and envy. Rid yourself of desires for yourself. You should desire for yourself spiritual milk that you might grow. He said you need to rid yourself of hypocrisy. Tonight, Peter is going to switch gears from talking about moral character to talking about what our character in Christ should motivate us as Christians to do. Now, remember, these people are being heavily persecuted. They are limited to what they can do and restricted to do, where they can go and who they can speak to. But the gospel does not give them or us any reason from shirking our duties. Amen? So let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. And it says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and temporary residents to abstain from fleshly desires that war against you. Conduct yourself honorably among the Gentiles so that in a case where they may speak against you as those who do evil, they may, by observing your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit to every human institution because of the Lord, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to governors as those sent out by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For it is God's will that you, by doing good, silence the ignorance of foolish people. As God's slaves, live as free people, but don't use your freedom as a way to conceal evil. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins again tonight. Pray that you would bless the reading of your word. Pray that you would open our eyes that we might be able to see what we need to see, Lord, that we might be greater servants for you. In Jesus' name we do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Well, as I was reading that scripture, and as you were reading that scripture, and as you were digesting that scripture, I got to tell you, some aspects of this message tonight are going to be hard to handle. It's going to be hard to take, especially in the day that we live in. And I'd hope that some of y'all, you know where I'm going with that. If you don't, just hold on. We're going to get there here in a second. So what Peter's talking about tonight is works that require it's no physical labor. That's good, right? It's spiritual labor. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to labor spiritually to obtain what Peter's asked us to do tonight. Now, as we start off with verse 11, we cannot overlook how Peter addresses his opening remarks on this topic. He opens with endearment. KJV or King James Version says, dearly beloved. And Holman says, dear friends. Both come across in the same near manner. Just as we in times use words of endearment to emphasize what we're about to say as important and very much worth listening to. Now, listen, please, as we look at what he's saying here, brothers. Brother, he's drawing them in. He's drawing them in. These words of endearment are drawing them in. In other words, what he's saying is, please, please listen to what I'm about to say. Please listen to what I'm about to say. Peter then makes his next reminders or reminds us that whom we are as Christians, really in this world, and that's temporary residents. Have y'all noticed that just about every writer reminds us at some point in time in their letters or their writings that we are temporary residents? Why do you think we need to be reminded so much? Because we lose sight of that at times, don't we? We plan ahead. We try to plan for retirement or plan for this or plan for that. And all actuality, we're temporary residents here. What do we need to be planning for more than anything else? Eternity. Eternity. So we hear Peter reminding us that we're temporary residents. Because what he is about to propose for us to do is hard. But it's to serve as a reminder that we will not have to do it very long. Now, we are temporary residents, and what he is asking will be a benefit for the Lord. Now, understand this. How many of y'all have ever asked your child to do something, and they've just been real excited about what you've asked them to do? I see you over there, girl. No, generally, when you ask your children, okay, look, you know, today we're going to do this, and this is what I want you to do. They'll mope and complain, and then this is what we as parents do. This is what I try to do anyway. If you will sit down and do this, it won't take you, but isn't that what we do? It'll take you 30 minutes. Then you can do what you want to do. It'll take you 45 minutes. It might take you an hour. And then after that, you'll have the whole rest of the day to do what you want to do. That's what he's telling us when he says you're temporary residents. Listen, you're not going to have to do this very long. Are there things in ministry, y'all, that are tough and, I mean, that you as a pastor, you don't really like to do, but you do them anyway? Well, yeah, you have to. That's part of ministry. But the great thing is, even the things that I don't like to do, I'm not going to have to do them long. You know why? Because we're temporary residents here. We really are. I believe every writer touches on this and reminds us of this because we lose sight of it and we need to remember. That might be something else you need to add to your, you know, right on your mirror. I'm just a temporary resident. Temporary resident. We're temporary residents in this world. He says this. As temporary residents, we need to abstain from fleshly desires. Okay, let me say that again. We need to obtain, you're late. We need to abstain from fleshly desires. Now, I don't know what you just thought about there. I don't know what was going through your mind. But we've got a wide variety, a broad spectrum of what fleshly desires are. Now, why does Peter tell us that we need to do this? For reason of testimony. These people, for the most part, are either being held captive by Gentile nations or the threat of being arrested and held captive is very realistic. Peter is saying these people are going to be watching you. Let them see that you are different than they are. The world needed to see a difference in them as it does today. Need to see a difference in us. The time that Peter is writing this, the world around the new Christians is just unraveling. Can you imagine hearing the gospel and receiving the gospel and knowing the gospel is real, and then two days later, everything in your world collapses because you've accepted this gospel message? Can you imagine? Church, I hope that you're paying attention and you're seeing how things are unraveling in our world today with Christianity. Do you know that there are people that are all up in arms? I mean, they are so upset that Christians get a tax deduction, the church. They want to take that tax deduction away. And you think, well, that's not, you know, okay, well, what happens if they take the tax exemption away from the churches? There are a lot of churches that'll fold immediately. Why is that? Because they'll have to pay property taxes on what you see. Now, we might be able to do it for a while, but I don't even know if we could handle that. Why are they doing that? What's going on? Why do they want that to take place? Listen, if you have not paid attention, You need to start paying attention because our world is unraveling. And this very scripture that we're reading this morning, this evening, you might need it here this time next year for the world that's unraveling around you. He says, abstain from fleshly desires. Then he says this. He says, conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles. Now, this one may be a little easier for us who live in the South. For the most part, we raise our children to have respect for our elders. But even that element is slowly starting to fade away. It really is. My grandchildren are being taught, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, please, thank you, by their mother. Now, I mean, we didn't tell her to do that. She sees the necessity to do that. But as their children are doing that, people say, why are you calling me ma'am and sir? It's fading away, church. He's saying this tonight that we're to treat others the very same way the Lord has and continues to do, with love and patience for us. Listen to Proverbs 25, 21, and 22. It says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap coals on their heads, and the Lord will reward you. Church, what Peter is telling these people is to treat the Gentiles better than they deserve to be treated. That's kind of hard at times, isn't it? Those who are persecuting their friends and their family who've accepted Christ, he says, treat them better than they deserve to be treated. Would that be easy for any of us to do? Let me give you some motivation here in a second. Peter then tells his audience to do something even harder, especially in the days that we live. He says, submit to every human institution or ordinance of man. Do y'all see a lot of that going on social media? No. No. You see, well, let me tell you what I think about so-and-so. Let me tell you what I think about him. Let me tell you what I think about the governor and the congressman and the Senate and the vice president and the president. That's what we see, right? Why does Peter tell us to do this? Peter says, because of the Lord. By submitting instead of fighting and rebelling, we are seen as different in light of our testimony, and our testimony shines. Church, when I got to this, I had to stop because I'm guilty. I'm guilty. There's some things that I've posted in times past or said in times past, and Amy's looked at me and she's just shook her head. She said, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. Why? Because I'm supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different, are we not? Is it hard? Oh, yeah. Are there times when you really want to say something? Yeah. This is what I'm going to try and do. I'm going to try. When somebody posts something that's really not so smart, this is what I'm going to write, Miss Virginia. I'm going to try. There's a lot that I really want to say, but I'm just not going to say it. All I'm going to say is Jesus loves you. Now, that's what we ought to say, right? And I don't even know that I ought to say the first part in light of the scripture that we're talking about tonight. But we can't keep beating a dead horse, church. And that's, as I looked at this scripture tonight, I mean, we really are. People are not going to change their minds. They really aren't. And I don't know why. I don't know how they got to where they are, but they're not. I mean, if they are where they are, Stan, they're not going to change their minds. Really. Now, let there be no doubt. God, this is hard, y'all. Let there be no doubt. What Peter is telling us to do tonight by supporting these individuals is that we need to support our president. That doesn't mean we have to agree with him. It really doesn't. We need to change our verbiage. Instead of, you know, posting that meme or making that comment, we can make a comment just as clear and concise by going a different direction. I'm praying for my president. Some of you say, well, he's not my president, whether you like it or not. He is your president. Just like the last one and the last one and the one that's coming. Does that mean you're going to send him a Christmas card? Absolutely not. I promise you that if Joe Biden walked through those doors tonight, which he ain't going to, but if he walked through those doors tonight, through what I've read in Scripture, I should walk up to him and cordially shake his hand. Now, I can also look at him and say, I'm praying for you, because I don't agree with a lot of what you say, and it sure doesn't line up with Scripture, but I'm praying for you. Right? Now, some of y'all are probably sitting there saying, and you might be right. Well, that doesn't even line up with Scripture. Yeah, but it's better than what I was doing, okay? We need to honor our president. We in light of this Scripture, we need to honor Congress and Senate. I think there needs to be term limits. I really do. Everywhere. But it doesn't matter how I feel. I'm still to honor those who are putting authority over me, what Scripture says. According to this Scripture, I am to honor the governor and the state representatives, even if I think they did a lousy job this past year. I'm still to honor them. I'm to give them respect for the position they hold. I'm to respect local elected officials. Even though I didn't get to vote on the mayor of city of Savannah, I didn't. Well, that means he's not your mayor. Well, yeah, it does. I mean, he's still the mayor, right? I'm to honor him. Well, I don't like what he's done. Well, it doesn't matter whether you like what he's done, things he said. Scripture, our scripture tonight, it says we're to honor him. Doesn't mean you have to sit down at Paula Deen's restaurant and buy him a meal. It doesn't. It even means that we're to respect the police. Now, it's easier for me to respect the police than some of these others, but we're to respect the police. Anyone who is in a position of authority, Peter says, we are to give them the utmost respect. Listen, not because they deserve that respect, but because God desires we give them that respect to give glory to himself through our actions. Man, is this going to be easy? Oh my gosh, no. But Scripture says we have to do it. Will you agree with me that a lot of what Scripture tells us to do isn't easy to do? And this one's just right there with it. It really is. It's tough. It's tough. Really, this is what's taking place in our lives, church, through Christ's redemptive work on the cross. Understand this. We do not deserve any respect for what Christ did for us on that cross. Do we? Do we deserve any respect for what Christ did for us on that cross? No. But Christ honors us not because we deserve to be honored, but that we might honor him by giving him glory through our actions to others. To others. How are we supposed to treat our enemies? With disdain and disrespect and contempt? No. Proverbs, what I read to you a few minutes ago, we're to heap goodness on their heads. Why? That they might have a change of heart. And good Lord knows our leaders need a change of heart. Do they not? They're coming after us. I don't know if any of y'all read this or not, but a preacher sent me right before the election. He sent me a manifesto that the ultra, ultra, ultra left who are, and this was a group that were anti-God, sent to the now sitting president saying, this is what we want to be on your agenda. And it was 16 pages of spewed hatred towards Christians. You might be thinking, that'll never happen in America. That is exactly what lines up with Scripture. Christians have always been in the crosshairs. We're living in an age right now, we might not be facing persecution in America, but there's not many places where Christians aren't facing persecution. Our day is coming, and we need to be prepared. Well, how do we be prepared? Here you go. It's right here tonight. Listen to Peter. He says this: it is God's will that you, by doing good, silence the ignorance of foolish people. Listen to that again. It is God's will that you, by doing good, silence the ignorance of foolish people. A lot of foolish people out there in the world today, are there not? A whole lot of foolish people. Peter then shows our identity in Christ in verse 16 and 17. What is your identity in Christ? What is it that you do? Who is it that you're supposed to be? He tells us in verse 16 and 17 that we are but slaves to Christ, bond servants. But we're to live as free people. I mean, it just kind of rattles in your head a little bit there, doesn't it? He says we are slaves to Christ. Well, what does that mean? We listen to everything our master tells us to do. We follow him explicitly, understanding that as a slave, that when we are told to do something and we don't do it, there are repercussions. Now, a bondservant, what's the difference between a slave and a bondservant? A slave has been freed from his commitment to slavery, and he walks up to the master and says, "Master, I want to continue my service to you for free." And at that point, the master takes him over to a doorpost and takes an awl and drives the awl through his ear and puts a mark in his ear so the world will know that he is a bondservant to him. That is our identity. That's who we as Christians ought to be. We ought to be slaves, but even if we're free, which we're never free from our commitment to Christ, we ought to love Jesus so much that we are willing to, with our freedom, walk back to the master and say, "Look, no, I don't want my freedom. I want to be with you." Amen? Because that's where we need to be. That's where we should want to be. Amen? In doing so, live in freedom. If you really look at this scripture and really dissect it, that's where freedom comes from. And until you submit to being a slave to Christ or a bondservant to Christ, you'll never be free. You'll never be free. That's where freedom is, in Jesus and Jesus alone. Now, as we are slaves to Christ, Peter tells us we are to conduct ourselves as slaves to him in a certain way that is most honoring unto him. He says this: do not use your freedom to conceal evil. Do not use this freedom to conceal evil. John Phillips gives us two ways we conceal evil through our freedom. Number one, through accepting Christ's free gift and still living as we desire. And secondly, by accepting his gift and being lazy, doing nothing. That hits us between the eyes, doesn't it? It should. Peter then moves back to the topic as he's already really touched about and adds to that topic about honoring others. In verse, 17, he says this: honor everyone. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. How many times? That's the second time he said honor the emperor, isn't it? Y'all, that's hard. Brother Carey, that's hard for me right now. I mean, that's really hard for me right now. What is Peter telling us to do? He says, number one, honor everyone. Even family members you don't like. Have y'all ever done that before? Somebody who just absolutely, you know they hate you. They hate your guts. If you were about to die, they wouldn't call 911. I've had people like that. I mean, really. Mr. Crawford, you know what this scripture tonight's telling us to do? Honor them. I don't want to honor. I don't want to honor them. There was a guy I worked with, he hated me. He hated me. Angela, he hated me. And it was almost reciprocated. I didn't want to honor him. But I read this scripture similar to this, and I started going above and beyond, and it hurt. Oh my gosh, y'all, I didn't want to honor him. I wanted him to get fired. I wanted to be a part of trying to do something to get him fired. But the scripture wouldn't let me do it. God wouldn't let me do it. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let me do it. Before I left my last job, he and I were probably closer friends than anybody else. That's God, isn't it, Poppy? It really is. That's God. That's God. He says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, and honor the emperor. Y'all, we got to do what Scripture tells us to do. We've got to do what Scripture tells us to do. It's not going to be easy, but it'll be fruitful. We might not ever see the fruit, but God, listen, God says that He'll do something. If God says He'll do something, guess what? He'll do it. Church, I believe Peter would ask one question of those he's writing this letter to if he was to ask a question at the end of this letter. And this is the question. Are your actions showing the Gentile world that you are changed and different people by accepting Christ's free gift of salvation? Can they see it? We don't mind telling people we're a Christian, but can people see it? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for your word. Sometimes it's hard, Jesus, but we thank you for it. We pray that your word will penetrate our hearts right now, that we might be the people that you want us to be, that you created us to be in the times that we live in. God, you're still in control. Even when it doesn't make sense, Lord, it makes perfect sense to you. And we praise you for that. If that's all we have to praise, Lord, we praise you for that. In Jesus' name we do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come and spend some time at the altar this evening?